it's like, let's go broad and like, here's the five creative assets that we're going to send out to the world. Like, that model is broken. It doesn't work anymore.
Hi, I'm Kiran Shetry.
And I'm Jeremy Goldman. And this is Future Proof. So one of the things Kiran and I really wanted to explore with this podcast is the future of influence-related marketing. It's not really just about quote-unquote influencers. It's about micro-influencers and authenticity, and really gets at the heart of how companies will be marketing in the future. So I thought there aren't really a lot of people better to speak to on that front than Jeff Ragavan of Social Native, the company that connects brands with everyday consumers to create authentic and compelling branded content. So just a little bit on Jeff, since I've known him for a while. Back in 2007, he helped co-found Buddy Media, a company built off of Facebook launching Beyond the Universities. Basically built a content management system for brands and agencies to manage their presences on social media. And over time, Buddy moved to social media management as a tool involving with messaging and paid ads. And eventually, as they got more and more into the consumer eye, Salesforce bought them for a tidy sum, and they became the marketing cloud over at Salesforce. And he then launched Ragavan Ventures to invest in interesting marketing companies, Social Native being one of them. He got really dialed into the business, enough so to join them as their chief revenue officer. So, Jeff, welcome.
Great to be here, guys.
I just wanted to ask you, this is a new thing that we're going to start to do, lightning round of questions, one sentence each, answers for everything that we throw at you. You ready?
Short answers. Okay. Okay, lightning round.
Lunch with any one celebrity that you haven't already met. Who would that be?
Lunch with a celebrity. You know, I would have to say I've always wanted to have lunch with George Clooney. Mm. I think we would really get along.
Would. He's hilarious. He is so funny.
Rub it in.
No, I interviewed him at the UN one time, and he was a very gracious person, and he travels with his parents. Anybody who travels with their parents is awesome. Okay, if you could give one piece of advice from a marketing standpoint to our President Donald Trump, who's, you know, in the soup lately with his love of Twitter, among other things, what would be that one piece of advice?
Delete your account.
That's a good one.
Favorite thing to do on the weekend?
Well, my favorite thing to do on the weekend depends where I am. So right now I'm in LA for the winter. It's a tough life. But since I've been here for the last month and a half, I've literally gone on a hike twice every weekend.
You're obviously you have to follow the branded world, pretty closely in your role at Social Native. So what are three brands that you follow and you're just obsessed with and you don't know why?
Besides Firebrand.
I mean, I absolutely love the Amon properties of the world. Dwell magazine, I love. You know, I'm into architecture and travel and all that. I'm thinking. Maybe Beaver Creek. Like those are, I mean, I know these are all kind of travel architectural type, but that's kind of what I like to follow.
Well, you use the Uber analogy, and I think that the best way that you sort of made it easy for a layperson like me to get a grasp on it. So explain the whole Uber analogy as it relates to Social Native.
Yeah, so I think, you know, a very easy way to understand this is if you simply just break it down, right? What we're looking at is essentially, you know, today in 2018, right, there's a ton of companies that are essentially tapping into the power of the gig economy, right? So,
explain.
Right.
That.
So, essentially, if you look at, you know, if we take Uber, right, they did it for transportation, right? If you look at Airbnb, they did it for hospitality. And so, when you look at Social Native, we're essentially doing that essentially for the creative industry. So, if you can essentially connect brands directly with their consumers and perhaps remove the unnecessary overhead of the traditional creative process, which tends to be extremely long and time-consuming and expensive, you know, you can actually create pretty amazing creative assets with greater speed and especially lower cost than anything else that we've ever seen. So essentially, if you think about Social Native, we have literally created a platform that connects people like you and me, our moms, our dads, you know, our brothers or sisters, it doesn't matter who they are, essentially with brands to create content for them. So it's like, hey, if you could connect people who love your brand to create content for you, they are the biggest advocate. And this is kind of the new model that we're looking at, and it's performed beautifully. So this is kind of this new era of, you know, how do you market to your consumers by your consumers in an efficient way?
Interesting, because I was at a Digitas, I was on a panel at Digitas, and this was years ago. Gosh, it must have been at least 5 years ago. And they were talking about this new trend, and the first company that was doing it was Philadelphia Cream Cheese. So, for example, instead of doing the regular Madison Avenue, you know, producing a very expensive, as you talked about, commercial, they basically started something where they asked their, you know, users or eaters of Philadelphia Cream Cheese to, you know, put together the best, I guess you would call it, you know, just sort of like a little online thing, like a 30-second video. And then those people would then, you know, win some sort of prize. As it turned out, that ended up being their advertising campaign, as opposed to going the more traditional route that people thought of. And it's considered brilliant.
And now people realize, obviously, that it kind of, I mean, it's hard to actually find an industry where it doesn't apply at all. I mean, I think that are you finding that there are certain industries that are just ahead of the curve in terms of adopting, these micro-influence campaigns?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the CPG space has been incredible at adopting this. I would say even Kieran, Coca-Cola actually has they've been doing a bunch of interesting things. Like, you know, we're working with them right now, and, you know, they came to us, it was in the last 6 months or so, but they basically were like, hey, it's National Sandwich Day, and we want to do something around National Sandwich Day. But they didn't actually have any assets. So they literally came into the platform and they, you know, created a brief. And they essentially wanted people to showcase, you know, their favorite sandwich today with, you know, drinking a bottle of Coke. And so they basically, I think something like, I don't know, they got something like 50 images within 2 hours to use across their social channels, including paid. So it's kind of incredible that you could also do this in real time. It's not just like, hey, we have a campaign coming up for Father's Day or National Pet Day next month. You can literally be in the moment right now and be able to access hundreds of thousands of people who are very specific to, you know, your brand, to have them create content for you. So it's kind of like this instant feedback loop, which is like, you know, with technology, we've never been able to do that. And today we're able to literally put something out there and get something back immediately, which is, to me, just pretty amazing.
I think it's got to be very gratifying kind of as the person powering it and also the brand, because, I mean, I remember back in the day, you know, Clout, actually, when they were doing what they were doing, where they were saying people are, and I remember we were talking about this a while back, people can have influence in specific areas. They're not necessarily the most influential person in the world, but they are the right person to be talking to for Philadelphia Cream Cheese or for Coca-Cola. And that's why I actually wanted to go even like broader and say, I mean, now that we have the data, what do you think that this, even apart from Social Native, what do you think that this means for the future of marketing in terms of targeting consumers, but also in terms of identifying people who could be great potential influencers for your brand? Like, what do you think the market looks like 3 years from now?
Yeah. I mean, I think everything does come down to data, right? So, you know, if we first look at platforms that are out there that are collecting data on their users, right? Facebook is a prime example, right? Facebook knows everything about me. They know who my friends are. They know who my family members are. They know the brands that I love. They know the interests that I've given them, that I like to fish, that I like to travel, that I'm a foodie, that I like wine. And so they've kind of collected this treasure trove of information on everybody. And you as the consumer, you don't have to give that information, right? You can keep things private if you want. You know, in my eyes, it's like, I'd rather have Facebook and other partners have as much information on me as possible, because that way I could actually be targeted with the right products and the right services that would be applicable to me. You know, I've been kind of going around the country and speaking at events and talking to people, and like this whole motto has like, you know, popped up, which is like, hey, we are really trying to make advertising not suck at Social Native, right? We're trying to really bridge the gap between, you know, brands and people and provide, you know, a level of segmentation and targeting that people are not going to get annoyed at. I'm personally annoyed constantly throughout the day when I'm on a site or I'm watching a video or, you know, even just a generic ad that has nothing to do with me. I have no interest in that ad, and it's just wasted money. Sure. Right? It's like let's just go. It's like, let's go broad and like, here's the five creative assets that we're going to send out to the world. Like, that model is broken. It doesn't work anymore.
You know, the question that I have about this is basically talk about this sea change that's happening and how, you know, companies and brands are marketing themselves, and also how precisely, how pinpoint, you know, bullseye accurate they are in reaching the audience they want to reach. You were using a fishing analogy on an interview you did with a Cheddar TV.
Yeah, totally.
We're saying if you're going after 18 to 35 year old men, you know, and Coca-Cola wants you to do it, it's like, upload your biggest, you know, fish story. And
exactly.
And those are the people that are saying it. I mean, and you know, in some areas, this works really well. Especially in like marketing of like Ford F-150s. I mean, you look at the Super Bowl, there's a certain, you know, there's certain ads that are there for a reason. Okay. There's not a, an ad for, you know, women's hair dye, because that's not the audience. But my question about this is, what are you replacing? You know, what are you replacing as it relates to marketing and commercials and the companies that make a lot of money off of doing that?
Yeah. I mean, I think what we're replacing essentially is we're giving brands the tools to be able to drive essentially more action and revenue to their business, right? So, you know, we're working right now with, you know, I can't say who it is because I'm not allowed to talk about it, but it's a pretty...
Everybody talks about the Super Bowl. Oh my God, it's $1 million in 3 seconds. Is that something that potentially Social Native and other companies like this could replace down the road?
I mean,
you don't need to pay $1 million.
I don't know how you replace the Super Bowl. Yeah. Sorry, not to like answer for you, but I kind of feel like the Super Bowl is that big moment.
Yeah, I think it's something like the Super Bowl. It's like you don't just have football enthusiasts tune in, right? You have families, friends, you know, everybody. I mean, even if you don't watch football, you kind of watch the Super Bowl because you want to see the ads. So I think when you have certain big scale events like that, like, I don't think there's ever going to be necessarily a replacement. But I think what they could do is they could potentially use someone like Social Native to create content for their Super Bowl spots.
Right. I mean, right? You guys could compete in that same space.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. What, let's just say, aside from the cost of actually running the ad, you know, for the Super Bowl, which is expensive, you also have to create the content through, let's just say, a creative shop or agency, which costs a fortune to create that actual spot for the Super Bowl. What if you can actually target your most incredible, you know, ambassadors that also can create amazing video, right? I've seen literally videos come into our platform and I'm blown away by and I could send them to you guys too, because it's unreal. Some of these creators have produced literally, you know, Oscar winning commercials.
Like, amazing, right? I mean, there's often,
I am literally blown away by it. And I think if one of these commercials were to air on something like the Super Bowl, no one would know that it was produced by a single person, 100%. And so I think it's just a matter of like collaboration. Like, can you collaborate with your consumers in the future? You know, I think agencies are still very important. But I think for the masses, you know, and creating content that really resonates with people, that's created by people, is going to be a pretty large growing trend going into, you know, the latter part of 2018. I mean, people are literally at brands already putting budgets. They're calling it influencer budgets now. It's actually a line item. It was never a line item before. People were taking budgets from creative, strategy, media. You know, now it's a line item. Like, this is this is definitely like the new era of, you know, creative thinking when it comes to, you know, advertising and broadcasting.
And Jeff, you know, actually, I think that's a really good point. Just the fact that it's a takeaway for people that there's going to be a line item associated with influencer or hyper-targeting. I mean, I think that that's a huge shift. People actually kind of realizing that now, and it's not just a matter of just getting Kim Kardashian or Jimmy Fallon to talk about your product in some way, shape, or form. It's about the relevancy. And, you know, sure, you can put it under an influence bucket, but I don't even like to personally, I don't like to even call it an influencer budget, because that almost immediately, you know, talks about like these very big people, but everybody can't be an influencer, and therefore, you know, it's all about the specific situation. That's
right.
Kind
mm-hmm.
of
seems to me
so I, that's a you guys right? bring up an amazing point, because this is a big issue that I deal with every day. And when I first invested in Social Native, one of my biggest challenges in putting money into the company was I didn't want to invest in an influencer marketing, quote unquote, company, right? Because influencer marketing, so to speak, has had a pretty negative connotation because of the Kim Kardashians of the world. But if you really think about it, influencer marketing, what we do is really, if you can influence the buying decision or buying patterns of a friend or family or coworker, you are an influencer. We all influence our friends to buy things because we buy things and they might like it.
Right.
So I think,
you know, it's almost redefining influencer. It's not having to pay Kanye West this much money or, you know,
100%. Like, it's more of like ambassador slash, I mean, I wish we could use the term influencer marketing, because it really is, you're influencing a purchase or a sale or a behavior. If you look at the Kim Kardashians or the other, like, quote unquote, influencer marketing people that have kind of created this weird space, they are the new TV shows, right? So they are the Bravos of the world. If you look at advertising on TV, advertising, you know, if you're a brand and you're advertising on a specific channel, that doesn't mean that the channel endorses your brand. Right? It means that you're paying for the audience who is watching your station. So for the Kim Kardashians, who have millions and millions of followers, and they endorse a product they have nothing to do with, right? And they never use it. They're doing it because they're getting paid $250,000 or whatever it is. It's just the new form of TV advertising in the digital world. But influencer marketing, the real term influencer marketing or ambassador marketing, is all about how do you basically endorse a product that you love or that you use or that fits you in an authentic way. That's not, you're not being a sellout, right? You're not doing it just for the money. You're doing it because you really care about the product.
But Jeff, I just wanted to ask you a follow-up about that, because what I think is really interesting is that, you know, of course there is authenticity involved when you have these micro influencers who are very, you know, who are hardcore advocates of the product. Like, let's just take Sonic Drive-In, for example. Mm-hmm. I am the biggest Sonic Drive-In fan in the world. I don't care if I die, you know, like with some Sonic in my hand, I'll be a happy man.
The sugar content of one drink alone.
Don't even look at it.
A day's worth.
Oh, it's a week's worth for sure. But I think that, you know, let's just say, obviously, if I get paid a small amount of money for doing anything, you know, through Social Native or through anybody else, if I get compensated in any way, what are your thoughts about what that says about, like, will the average person still look at that as authentic, even though it was done, you know, and there was even a small amount of compensation involved? What do you think you know, the future holds for that?
Yeah. I mean, so, like, let's look at that from, like, an, you know, apples to apples comparison, right? So let's take two people. Let's just say you're one of them. You love Sonic. You happen to post about it because you love it, right? But you have no affiliation with the brand whatsoever, right? Now, Kieran, let's just say, is approached by Sonic, and they want her to, you know, post a piece of content about the very almost the same thing, except she's getting paid, right? The fact that she's getting paid by an advertiser, regardless, she has to disclose that because of FTC regulations, right? Now, you're posting...
Who cares, really? I mean, you know, like, look at the website, look at the YouTube sites where people get, you know, a ton of money.
But it's basically the same content. It's the same content, right? Like, you're posting about it, Jeremy, because you love it. Kieran, you're posting about it because you love it too, but you're also being compensated from the brand. But it's exactly the same, almost similar.
Yeah, and so people will get used to it if it becomes the new normal, is kind of what I think. I think
there's a fine line. There's definitely a fine line, right? So if I look at my Instagram feed, like, I have a couple of branded spots in there that are totally because I absolutely love the brand, right? There's a picture on my Instagram of, like, my dog in my Jeep on the beach. It's a beautiful shot. It's my car, right? I'm not getting paid by Jeep. Like, I love my car. I've got a shot of, like, in my kitchen. It was like the worst week ever. It was like, you know, we all have those, like, tumultuous weeks of, like, everything sucks. And it was Friday night, and I literally had a bottle of 1942 Don Julio on the counter with a glass and a beautiful, you know, square ice cube. And, like, I wasn't posting for the brand. I'm posting because I love that product. Now, I think if you have somebody that posts product specs every single day and is getting paid for it, it's not real. It's not authentic. And they're just becoming another smaller version of a Kim Kardashian. But if you can really hone in on certain groups of people that they absolutely love your brand and they're going to post about it and they don't do it all the time, I think that's truly the way to do it. And we're working with a ton of brands right now where there's actually not necessarily compensation. They're not getting paid, but the brand has actually already said, hey, these are really valuable customers of ours, and we want them to create content for us. And in return, we're going to give them a discount on their next purchase, or we're going to give them a limited edition sweater or whatever it might be, right? And so this is the new model of getting your customers to just talk about your brand. Like, this is not... it's not a new thing. Like, this has been going on for 100 years, but it's just a different mentality. It's a different technology, right? It's the digital era. You know, when you had people that were going out and kind of talking about, oh my God, you know, I love this pizza. You guys have to go to this pizza. Like, it's the same thing of, like, advocacy, right? It's just a different format. So it's, you know, there's a lot of very gray areas, I would say. But,
you know, a lot of people think about, is the future of content and sourcing these influencers, is that a negative to, like, the average creative director, you know, in a big agency? And I think that part of the answer is hopefully it gives the humans, you know, it obviously technology displaces people left and right all the time, but I think hopefully it empowers people to make decisions about what type of content. And then, as you said, it's survival of the fittest or the best content, so that, you know, somebody might be, you know, somewhat influential, but actually able to create content that, as you said, is good enough that it could even run in a Super Bowl commercial. That's, you know, very powerful.
I mean, yeah, it's, if you think about, you know, the entire platform itself, you could think about it also as a focus group. If you're a brand and you have a brief, or maybe you have an idea on what you think the product, you know, should look like in a creative setting, let the people come up with some of the ideas, take the best ideas, and then go to your agency and say, hey, here's the feedback we got from our customers, right? Run with this. I don't know, personally, like, I go into the platform all the time and look at some of the content that comes in, and there's thousands of pieces that come in on a daily basis. And I kind of do these fun exercises of, okay, what do I think is the best content without looking at any metrics? And so, like, I'll go in and I'll say, okay, this piece of content, I love it. And this piece of content, I love that. But then I'll actually sort it by score, depending on what the brand scored it. And I'm always wrong, you know? And then I'll sort it by engagements. So what are these people's friends and family actually think? Or, like, are they engaging with it? And I'm also wrong half the time as well. So I think we all have our own kind of eye for things and what we think is right. But when we actually throw it out there into the world and let people actually engage with it and talk about it, there's a whole set of eyes that we haven't even seen before. So I kind of look at this also as, yeah, you're getting your brand out there and you're getting people talking about it, but you're also getting really valuable data and feedback that you could then use, extrapolate that, and then create an even more amazing on-point brand message.
So let me, right? But you know, I think that's true. And I think that to me also what's interesting, I don't know if you guys, if this is too early for you guys to be thinking about kind of like a 5-year plan or other people in the space. But I mean, it goes back to the idea of what clout was doing in the beginning to try to measure people's influence in general. And I think what's interesting is so many conversations still happen offline, right? So how do you, and I'm not even going to pretend that you necessarily have solved this now, which is fine. But I mean, how does a company like yours or even the industry in general get around that and start to, you know, truly measure? Because I might be somebody who, well, I have a lot of people, you know, who are following me on social, but then I know people in real life who have less of a following, but are far more influential than I am. Right. And I think that kind of like,
it's like je ne sais quoi. Like, how do you quantify that?
I feel like, how do you, right. I mean, and I think that we're going towards the direction of quantifying everything and people getting less privacy obsessed. But I mean, what do you think the future holds for companies like yours in terms of measuring all those things that are right now, quote unquote, unmeasurable?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, beyond the digital realm, I think it's a great question. I think there's a lot of question marks there. I mean, we're obviously really trying to focus on, you know, what we could do today within technology limitations. It's definitely an interesting thing to think about. I mean, you know, if you look at models in the past, it's like, look at the, you know, the last 15, 20 years of the affiliate generation, right? It's like, that's kind of like, hey, if you're on my site and you use my code and, you know, you buy this product, I'm going to get a kickback, right? It's the same thing with word of mouth. It's the same thing with, you know, when people are using apps, right? So let's just say you're using Postmates or you're using, I don't know, some other apps where I'm constantly seeing referrals like, hey, use the app and tell your friend, give them this code and get $5 free or $20 off or whatever it might be, right? That's all word of mouth. And you can totally do that without actually sending something via technology. You can just give them the code, right? Whether you're on the telephone or you're in the office or whatever it might be. You can still quantify that though, right? Because you're getting very unique codes that you can track back to that person. So it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, digital sharing per se, but it's still a digital conversion.
It is a good question. Jeremy always has good questions.
No, every few days.
Jeremy is a genius. He's just a genius.
I was practicing that this morning for hours before he asked you. What I want to ask you is that sometimes, you know, I'm a visual person, visual medium. I want to have you tell me, and not to put you on the spot, but if you think of an example of something that really struck you from one of these micro influencers, okay, somebody who, you know, not a celebrity that ended up being in a brand's campaign, you know, or a commercial. Can you give us a couple examples or maybe one that really stuck out to you that was just like the wow factor?
Well, I've got a couple. So I would say, and I could send these to you guys too, just so you could see them visually after after the podcast. There was an image from this guy who was a backpacker or something, hiker, like outdoor enthusiast. And he was essentially tapped by the Polaroid program that we did. And they were trying to get people who were kind of in that outdoor enthusiast world of hiking and backpacking and camping to create pieces of content that showcased their lives through this. It was for their Snap camera. And this guy is literally like sitting on the top of his really cool, like Volkswagen RV with like these incredible mountains in the background they were snow capped. And it's one of the most beautiful images I've actually seen, like with a brand involved. And I loved it so much is that I actually took that piece of content and put it into an ad campaign for Ad Age that talked about social native. It was a 3-page cover. And we had 3 creators. One was from Nissan Cup of Soup. One was for the Polaroid with the dude in the RV thing. And then another one was for Smarty Pants Vitamins. And I was blown away. Every time I have it on my desk at work, and every time I have somebody come in, I show them the 3-page, it's a print ad. And I just love that because, you know, Polaroid was using it in their campaigns, but we also used it for Social Native, which was really amazing. And the creator was like ecstatic that he was actually in a print magazine for digital professionals and marketing. And I'm constantly seeing that every day with lots of different brands, and just people are really creative. And they really express themselves, whether they're a runner or a yoga instructor, whatever it is, in a really beautiful way that fits their lifestyle. And I think that's important, right? Because you have to have that true level of transparency and be authentic.
No, I mean, I think that that's a great place to leave it, because I think authenticity is key. And I think that's really, if micro content is going to continue to take off, as it looks like it will over the next few years, I think people do have to keep their authenticity. So Jeff, thank you so much. And we'll
see you soon.
I'm already opening an account.
Great. Okay.
Kieran, do it. Get on there.
Yeah. We got to get Kieran on there for sure.
And that wraps up another episode. You might know this by now, but you can find us on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. And make sure to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Give us all your feedback. Seriously, guys, we can take it. We are big boys and girls. And everything that you tell us about what you'd like and what we can improve upon makes each and every episode a little bit better than the one before. And on behalf of Kieran and I, you've been listening to Future Proof.